enhancing the insurance cover. Currently, we are getting a maximum insurance of 1 lakh per deposit, but this committee presently, as I just now said, presently eligible depositors to the tune of rupees 1 lakh insurance cover are covered under the DICGC, Deposit Insurance and Credit Guarantee Corporation, with rise in general income levels resulting in increase in the size of individual bank deposits. This ceiling of rupees 1 lakh is considered insufficient, and hence this committee has recommended that this cover should be raised to at least rupees 5 lakhs so as to encourage individuals to keep their deposits in a bank convenient for them. A way should be found to ensure not only up to the specified limit but 100% deposit by making necessary amendments in the relevant acts. Branch layout. The layout of the branch premises and the people manning play an important role in motivating a customer with positive thoughts. If the branch premises is very cramped, the customer is not able to enter smoothly. It demotivates the customer. Hence, the branch premises plays a very important aspect in motivating the customer with positive thoughts. The approach to customer service, in a way, is defined by the approach path a customer has to take to enter a bank premises. The needs of the senior citizens and the physically challenged persons must also be an important input in deciding on the branch location and its access. Minimum sitting space is not available in most of the branches, making it very difficult for old and disabled to wait for their turn. Branches should provide dedicated phones, computers with internet connection so that the customer, even though they don't have an internet connection in their house, can make use of this infrastructure available at the branch and can avail themselves of the facilities such as call center, internet banking, phone banking at the branch itself. Call center IBA should consider a toll-free common call center number wherein the moment the number comes, you don't have to dial a particular bank, remember a particular number. That number will be automatically routed to the correct bank, like dial 100 for all banks. A customer would ring that number and thereafter get diverted to the bank concerned without he referring or remembering various numbers of various banks. Availability of stationery at branches. There should not be any shortage of stationery for the use of customers, like account opening forms, loan application forms, passbooks, challans and printer cartridges in semi-urban and rural urbans. This was found to be short of stock in this particular category of branches. Locker facility, important recommendation. In some cases, it was observed that lack of transparency in the process of allotment of lockers and migration to a bigger locker if the customer's requirement has increased. Banks demanded a certain amount of deposit, cross-sell their products like mutual funds, insurance, demand allocation, etc. as a precondition for allotment of locker. Again, not a proper practice, unfair practice. The transparency required to maintain as per Reserve Bank of India guidelines is not maintained while doing so. It is a para-banking activity involving huge capital and also venue expenditure. Hence, they should be given more flexibility in allotment of the lockers, as otherwise the locker facility creation itself gets incentivized. This is a particular representation given by the banks why they were using these unfair practices. It was also mentioned that once a locker is given, it remains with the customer for decades on payment of a nominal rent with minimum possibility of turnaround. Banks stated that this activity is just an additional facility to the customers provided, usually at a loss to the bank. But the committee did not hear any of this representation. It straightaway said the recommendation as follows. The guidelines in this regard may need to be revisited to ensure that the activity itself is not de-incentivized. The customers continue to have availability of lockers at an affordable charge, and the customer are not forced to buy other products of the bank which they need not need. They have come for locker facility, give them locker facility. Why burden them with additional products as a precondition for red-mounted lockers, and especially those products which you don't need? Standardization of documents. Banks should follow different formats or various forms commonly used by the customer for availing various banking services. Standardization of the basic stationery for use of the customer of the banks is necessary. They also went, and most of the banks are actually doing this, printed material in trilingual forms. Banks should make available all printed material used by the retail customers, including the account opening forms, paying in slips, passbooks, etc., in trilingual forms, that is English, Hindi, as well as the concerned regional language. Now we move on to the important recommendations made by the Damodaran Committee. Let's see what are they. The bank should be in a position to design products suiting the requirements rather than forcing upon the bundled products on the customer. There is no point in giving extra products, unwanted product to the customer, but the bank should design the basic as well as the other most essential features, and only such products should be offered and not bundling of products. Digitally signed email statements should be sent to the customers on their request, and this should be accepted by the various government authorities, and this will tremendously reduce the use of paperwork, delay in the courier, and save ultimately the money spent on the remittances or the dispatch. A passbook should be a mirror of the summary of transactions as appearing in the bank's books. It should be readable with appropriate font size, specifically Arial 12, and define all the acronyms. This is specifically referring to the observation made by them, wherein the banks print a statement which is not readable, write something on it which is not legible, use acronyms which is not known to the customer, and hence this recommendation of clarity in the passbook. Whatever is printed should be clear, and full explanation should be given for all the acronyms that are used. Before marking the account as inoperative, banks must intimate the account holders by SMS so that the customer is aware that he has not performed his transactions for a quite number of period, and he needs to follow a certain process for activating, rather than straight away putting the account into inoperative status. If the account holder is not traceable, then the banks must make efforts to trace the whereabouts or the whereabouts of the account holder or his legal heirs in case the account holder is deceased. Banks should inform the customer immediately on the balance in the account breaching the minimum balance and the applicable penal charges for not maintaining the balance by SMS, email letter. Further, the penal charges levied should be in proportion to the shortfall observed. Banks should offer a basic account with certain privileges like number of transactions, say 3 per month, check facility, ATM card, etc., without any prescription of minimum balance. This would be a regular account with full KYC, and the bank should clearly indicate the transaction charge for each type of transaction above the permissible number of transaction. All fixed deposit receipts should prominently indicate the annualized interest yield to facilitate informed customer decisions. The term deposits are normally made for a long period, and it would be possible that a customer would have relocated in the interim because of transfer or because of his own wish before the maturity of the deposit, and would not have the updated address in the account. Such notices should be sent to the customers, preferably in the electronic form, because he might have updated his email, to enable them to decide the renewal terms. Statement of all deposit accounts in summary for giving details like the principal amount, maturity value, maturity dates, rates of interest, etc., should also be provided by the bank. More recommendations on the loans and advances. All pricing and non-pricing terms and conditions of loans should be in strict conformity with the regulatory guidance and not on the basis of the bank's own whims and fancies. Retail loans should be available in the bank's portal and internet banking site also. Tracking of loan proposal and information of status should also be made available in the core banking software. The core banking software should be enabled to generate or issue the interest certificates for whatever purpose, rather than the customer getting a delayed response and more specifically at the time of filing returns of his income. Bank should inform upfront the time schedule for disposal of loan application to the borrower and take responsibility for not disposing of the loan application within that time limit. Borrower should be made aware upfront about various documents required to be produced for processing of the loan application. Banks must ensure that loan statements are issued to the borrowers periodically, giving details of the loan disbursed, demands and repayment affected, loan with interest and details of the charges. Banks should be doubly careful while reporting a borrower as defaulter to the Credit Information Bureau. Customer borrower should not unnecessarily get a negative listing. There should be prioritized services to the senior citizens, physically handicapped persons, by effective crowd people management available at all the branches. A full and proper implementation of the BCSBI course is an important and urgent requirement to fulfill the commitment made to the bank customers. In case of frauds in the accounts of the customers, the bank should implement the Reserve Bank of India guidelines that requires immediate provisions of credit to the customer after obtaining due affidavit to ensure that customers are not out of the funds. All banks should implement the Citizens Charter, promises made by the bank to the customers, on exchange facility of notes and coins adopted by the Department of Currency Management, Reserve Bank of India. The important recommendations for the technology and customer service were as follows. There should be a secure total protection policy, zero liability against loss for any customers induced transactions, utilizing technology through ATMs, POS, point of sale terminals, that is a merchant terminal, online banking, etc. All internet banking is made fail safe by putting in place robust and dynamic fraud detection and prevention systems. Initially, various banks just launched the technology products, but then lots of things started happening, and that's the reason for having a proper fail-safe system. A proper system, you need to have some tightening measures, and this were also recommended so that a customer won't have to suffer any of the problems because of the technology products. Some more on the internet banking. The users, specifically the utilities, airlines, train tickets, etc., of electronic banking platform for making collections should offer smaller discounts to that customer because they are indeed saving on the transaction which could have been done manually. And specifically, this will be favoring electronic payments, and lots of people will be encouraged to do electronic bookings. This would result in substantial saving to them in cash management as well. Banks may restrict the amounts that can be transferred online by way of a daily cap or by way of a ceiling amount per transfer. Banks should have a facility of customer behavior, purchase pattern, etc., so that an analysis can be done based on that pattern, and any diverting or divulging pattern can immediately throw an alert on the bank and on the customer as well. Any attempt from an unknown address, suspicious outlier debit transaction should be first blocked and then informed over SMS to the customer. You don't have to wait for the customer. Ask him what, if you find any suspicion, if you find any fraud, the transaction has to be blocked, so that at least that would stop the future suspicious or fraud transactions. Some more on the internet banking. Banks should put in place secure systems like the multi-factor authentication to enhance the customer confidence and reduce the possibility of fraud. So hence, nowadays, many of the banks are sending an additional code over and above the password on the mobile or any other electronic media, so that even if somebody knows the password, this particular tool, electronic tool, will be with the customer only, and it is not easy to crack such second factor authentication. Banks may introduce mechanisms whereby the customer has a choice of restricting account to account transfers to be done only from a particular IP address or a choice of addresses. If at all any untoward happens, there should be a compensation. The international best practices regarding cash not delivered or transactions made on ATMs, withdrawals to clone cards, credit cards, or any other electronic transactions like internet banking frauds, etc., should be followed so that the customer is not biased in using the electronic mode. And we follow the international best practices. These best practices have come out of a lot of research, and they clearly know what is the loss, what is the compensation that can be provided, and such policies should be implemented in our country also, if at all there is a decision to be made on the compensation to be made. And the customer should be afforded a temporary credit immediately after taking a suitable undertaking, because that will prove a lot for the customer rather than going out of cash. And if at all it's a big amount, it will be a serious stoppage of his day-to-day transactions. The personalization of accounts. Banks should design online programs on their sites enabling the customer to automate the money transfers, maintain balance levels, get non-standard account statements, and a host of such facilities which would improve their information levels and make cash management more efficient. Now we move on to the ATM, the debit card, the credit card transactions. All credit and debit cards, including the chip cards, should be photo cards with the scanned signature laminated on the card. Every ATM should have a unique ID for reference. This would facilitate easy identification of the ATM when redressing the grievance. On the ATM card misuse, the customer should be able to send written SMS to block the card when it receives an SMS from the bank. If he observes misuse within a single word, rather than referring many words or sentences, and that simple word can be simply blocked. To prevent further withdrawals, the SMS is being received from the mobile number registered with the bank. Further, in case of a lost card, hotlisting should be allowed online or phone. However, a fresh debit card should not be allowed online or phone by banks. Banks should, in a phased manner, switch over to the use of chip-based cards, and many of the banks have started this, instead of the current magnetic strip cards, in order to prevent skimming and damage erosion of data due to the wear and tear and misuse. Banks may issue the biometric ATM cards to senior citizens and illiterate customers because they tend to forget the passwords, and if any of the biometric ATM identifies their own personal features, then they don't have to remember the passwords, etc. And these customers who are not at ease while using ordinary ATM cards, the biometric ATMs can be a great convenience for them. ATM cameras. Now, lots of things, even weapons, are brought in inside the ATM rooms, and the customer are threatened for any actions if they don't follow their instructions. And hence, the ATM cameras serve a lot of purpose to identify such events, such activities, to track the culprits in these scenarios. But ATM cards should be placed in such a way that it gets a clear picture of the person doing the ATM operations, and the lighting inside the ATM booth should facilitate the same. An additional small camera should take care of a snapshot of the customer picking up the money from the bin, so as to assist the customer when cash is disbursed does not happen, or if the cash disbursement does not take place, the customer disputes, this particular small camera can identify the person who has actually received the cash. Whenever a complaint on ATM withdrawal is received, a bank should ensure to preserve the CCTV recordings till the grievance is fully redressed. So the ATM camera requirement is very much whenever you have an ATM installed in any region. And nowadays people are talking of compulsory and mandatory security guard on every ATM that is installed to provide safety to the customer who is doing the transaction. The merchant discount, the fee for debit card. To encourage acceptance of debit cards by the merchant establishments and thereby support electronic payments, card schemes providers and banks should follow a differential merchant fee policy in favor of the debit card, which will cover a period of time, reduce the dependence on cash for payments. PIN-based authorization is now being introduced by the banks, especially when you use your credit cards also. For debit and credit card transactions, at the POS, instead of signature-based cards, authorization by way of a PIN is also necessary, and this will take care of additional safety from the customer point of view, because that PIN again will be known to the customer only, and the forgery of the signature appearing on the PIN signature-based card won't happen. Two-factor authentication for internet banking and debit card transaction at POS should also be introduced, so that in addition to the password, an additional factor, maybe some second code received on the mobile, can also be used. Self-personalization of cards. Call centers as well as online systems through net banking should enable a customer to fix the individual transaction limits for debit credit cards use, debar or fix limits for purchase of electronic or jewelry items, manipulate the limits for and on cards, activate, deactivate use of cards, internationally, limit the use of cards to any particular state or a defined area. The mobile banking recommendations are also important, because this particular product is growing in the rural areas at a tremendous speed. Tier security for different parameters, the transaction value, destination of transaction, two-level authorization for non-routine destinations, security based on handsets, frequency of payment should be introduced. At present, there is better penetration of post office and mobile telephony in the rural areas. In immediate future, post office accounts are to be linked with modern communication networks, which can act as a platform for interoperability of services, and providers like banks, mutual fund institutions, mobile network operators, and the mobile application providers can make use of this tool very effectively. The SMS and the email alerts. Free SMS email alerts should be sent for all and every transaction, such as date of maturity of deposits, ECS, credit received, credit of pension, credit received by way of money through RTGS, etc. The SMS alert on the card usage should be sent, allowing the customer reply back in case card is not used. SMS alert should be sent for all check returns, irrespective of the amount or the amount fixed at the account level. This SMS gives an immediate information of what transaction happened in the account, and if at all the customer has not done, he can immediately come back to the bank and inform the bank or deny the transaction, so that the bank can take proper action and not allow the future transactions to happen. Business process reengineering. What's this? Banks should ensure that the core banking software addresses the following major issues which were not integrated into the core banking at the time of implementation in the banks, because such needs might not have come to the mind of the design team. Automatic updation of age records and then conferring senior citizen benefits whenever applicable once the customer becomes a senior citizen, so you don't have to follow up and let the senior citizen wait for availing the benefits. Minimum customer or minor turning into a major because the total constitution of the account changes and it has to be done in advance, so that as soon as the minor turns major, he starts continuing to use the account as a major. Checks not being collected and honored for the second account holder. Systems allowing the survivor to continue as either or survivor joint account after demise of one of the account holders, and the account need not be stopped immediately because the survivor has a right to operate the account. System not allowing conversion of a single account to a joint account. Conversion of a single account to a joint account should be allowed in a system rather than forcing the customer to close the account. Specialized government schemes accounts like the PPF, senior citizen special deposit schemes, etc. not being updated in the system, resulting in deposits being collected after the expiry of schemes. Tax deducted at source not being communicated to the IT department for appropriate credit to the SSE's account. Prioritization for receipt and reminder of life insurance for pensioners. All this has to be incorporated in the core banking software because each and every action is very important from that particular product point of view. One of the important recommendations were on the internal grievance redressal system in the banks, especially online grievance redressal system. Banks branch inspection should review also the systemic way of complaint resolution rather than more number of cases resolved. The time frame for the grievance redressal should be displayed on the notice board. Clear segregation of grievances in terms of the ones that need to be escalated and the others that must necessarily be resolved at a branch level. There should also be incentives and cost. There should be incentive for resolving the complaints at lower level and disincentivize for escalating it to a higher level. Where policy issues are not involved, banks should carefully weigh the cost aspects before appealing against a decision of the lower legal fora like a consumer court, lower civil court, etc., because cost is involved whenever you make an appeal to the higher courts. The recommendations on the banking ombudsman in the grievance redressal setup. There is a need for the banks in developing their internal grievance redressal mechanism to ensure only the minimum number of cases get escalated to the banking ombudsman and the scheme is strictly used as an appellant mechanism. If each and every case goes to the ombudsman, then the ombudsman will be too busy to give specific attention for the real cases that requires his intervention. All the communications sent by the banks should have an insert on the banking ombudsman scheme and its applicability to educate the customers so that they can approach the right forum within the time prescribed. Role of the boards of the banks in customer service. The board of directors should play a proactive role in implementing all the customer service guidelines and instructions. The root cause analysis of the top 5 types of complaints of a quarter should be placed before the customer service committee of the board held in the subsequent quarter. An agenda should be placed before the customer service committee every quarter on the level of implementation of the bank's code of commitments to the customer and the grievance redressal mechanism. The board should ensure that the following policies are in place. Comprehensive policies for customer acceptance, customer care and customer severance, and take into account the geographic spread of its branches, segments of customer, needs of special sections like senior citizens, widows, physically challenged persons, etc. Clearly define and distinguish the features for different products and services and must indicate the target customer group. Show sensitivity for the small customers by ensuring that the pricing bank charges does not act as a deterrent for the small persons or the weaker sections to do their day-to-day banking transactions. Customer centricity is the key word. The bank's approach to develop client-first attitude by the employees needs to be documented, and the same may include aspects such as positive attitudinal behavior and practices, the skill gaps of employees, the process of re-engineering, the recruitment of the staff for the purpose, etc. should be carefully looked into. Banks board should evolve human resources policies which will recruit for attitude and training, arrange training for the skills. The board should also ensure the prescribed response time for every type of grievances should be approved by an official not below the rank of top management of the bank. Codify annually all its policies, operational guidelines, so that would help the frontline staff to serve the customers better. The internal inspection audit reports of the bank should be adequately focusing on the customer service, and the audit rating should appropriately reflect the importance of customer service, and this forms a regular exercises for appraising the branch managers, and the audit report forms a very important aspect of following a better business policy as well as better operational policy. Appraisals and rewards. Customer service and grievance redressal should be included as a mandatory parameter in the performance appraisal report of all the employees. Banks may consider a reward recognition and motivation program for frontline officers who have shown exemplary character in ensuring the customer service. Non-monetary rewards, such as being invited for lunch or dinner with the board or the CMD, a presentation to the board, etc., may also be considered. The branch level customer committee meetings may be replaced with a meeting of customers of all the banks of that area, so that the customer will be educated more and more, say district-wise, block-wise, and to be held in the presence of representatives of banks at periodic intervals, monthly, quarterly, etc. The responsibility of organization such meeting or organizing such meetings may be entrusted to the eminent consumer organization in the region, and expenses of such meetings can be shared by the banks of that jurisdiction. The proceedings of the meetings should be recorded on a CCTV camera for the purposes of review of the same in the higher fora. Customer grievance redressal policy, a very important aspect of customer service. How to resolve, in what way to resolve, what is the time frame for resolving, forms a part of this customer grievance redressal policy. Banks must have a well-documented customer grievance redressal policy duly approved by its board. Customer complaints should be professionally handled, and there is no cause of customer dissatisfaction. The production of 8 consumer rights can be seen in this following slides, and each and every bank should pay special attention for protecting these consumer rights. Right to basic needs, right to information, right to choose, right to safety, right to be heard, right to redressal of grievances, right to consumer education, and right to clean environment. We also have something called fair treatment of customers. The tenets of fair treatment should be ideally based on the following principles. Minimum courtesy and behavior standards, as customer is a human, not a machine. Transparency in the transactions. Non-discriminatory policy. Deliver what is promised. Allowing seamless switching of products without excessive penalty. Appropriateness of sell and firm and polite stand against unreasonable customer demands. Most of the banks are proudly displaying the fair treatment policy towards the customer on their website, and the customer is aware about such policies in advance, he has to just visit the website and see whatever the bank is offering and make a comparison and again decide which bank he can prefer.